But it's a short story that I saw on Erev Shabbos. There's a Tepligrova, but it's before we proceed to Bikasa, which are fascinating alochas. The Tepligrova was the Rav, was a very outstanding Gaon in Yerushalayim for the last 20 years of his life in Yerushalayim. Tepligrova was well known. He was the Rebbe of Rav Eliashev, he was the Rebbe of Rav Ozman, an outstanding Gaon in Pesach Halacha. He was delving once in Yerushalayim, was looking into the halachas of Chosh Mish, but some monetary financial question that he looked into, and then he suddenly realized that he had misunderstood something until then. He was clear now, he understood how it works, and he was fine with the mechanical that this halacha was. But he realized that years ago he had made a mistake in this very halacha. He had made a mistake. And he realized that he made a mistake, not only that in theory, but the way he understood the sugya now, it turned out that some 30 years earlier, when he still lived in Russia, and in fact when he was still asking questions in Russia, he had made a mistake, and he had, how do you call that? He had told somebody to pay off something, which in hindsight turns out that he was wrong. How do you call that? He had messed up. Yeah, that's the right word. He had messed up. That's the word. He had messed up. And he said, you know, Reuven, you're chayv to pay so and so much money. And now, having looked at the sugi again, learning the halachas again, he realized that he had messed up. So, he said, what am I going to do about this? And he felt really bad because he had wronged somebody financially, in essence. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to pay this individual back the money that he had, you know, that he had wrongly obliged him to pay. So I'm going to pay him back. He wasn't himself making the money, but he felt that he had paskened wrongly for that individual in Russia. I said, I'm going to pay that figure. So he was very hard for him. He was living in Shalim, going in the 1950s, and he realized that he had he's going to find out who that person where that person in Russia, you know, trying to send the money over. It was very difficult to logistically find out exactly where he had lived and where he was and everything, but he had somehow figured out where the person lived, and he managed to, he wasn't rich himself, Tepligrova was poor, he managed to send the money over across to Russia, to Belarus, where that person was living, and he sent over the money with the explanatory note. He says, listen, 20 years ago, you asked the Shaila, I paskened, you are 20 rubles, you have to pay, whatever it is. Here, I realize now this was a mistake, here is the money, this is yours now, and I'm pleased I was able to, I can sleep now better, I know that I've sorted out my mess that I've created. Okay, part one. Part two of the story, that quite good few years later, he bumps into that person on the street, the Tepligrova, bumps into that, he's, oh, how nice to see you live here now, yeah, I escaped. You escaped Russia? You escaped the communist Russia? What's going on? He says, yes, I'll tell you exactly what happened, you have no idea. He says, I was practicing Yiddishkeit, and I got into deep trouble. And I knew that I was in danger, but eventually they caught me, and they said, we're going to send you off to Siberia. Now, somebody who goes to Siberia, many went, few returned back. It was pretty much a death sentence. He said, I was just judged and sentenced, and I knew that the end is near. That very day that I had some negotiations with the officer, my last chance to kind of rectify, suddenly I get this post with a 20 ruble from you. And I knew this is incredible, I got some money, because with that money, I had no money, but that money that had just been sent over from Yerushalayim by you, the Tepligrova, I was able to bribe the Russian communist officer. You know, they were very corrupt, they were corrupt to the bones, you know, and they still are, yeah. So he said, I was able to show him that money, which had just been shipped over and was, you know, a more solid currency. I showed him that money, and I said, listen, if you give it this, what happens? He looked left, he looked right, and he says, off you go, but leave the country and leave it now. Don't even have time to go back to your flat and pack your bag. Just go now. I was able to escape. Thanks to your money, I made the escape, and I survived, and here I am to say the story. So it's an incredible, incredible story by the Tepligrova who said the story over. What does that teach us? It teaches us, what do you think? What does it teach us? Mitzvah, I suppose. He didn't have to pay back this 20 rubles that he passed me wrong. Probably didn't. I don't know if you're chaloch if he had to. But for sure, it wouldn't have occurred to him that good deed that he did, that chesed he did, he didn't just give him 20 rubles, but he actually, literally, you know, he enabled him to escape, and they're about to survive. It's incredible. It's almost incredible. Story of the Tepliku of Rabbi Sai. This week we'll be learning some very interesting halachas, and I think Dovo be'itoy ma'atoyv. Couldn't be a better week to discuss those halachas, Rabbi Sai. Could be no better week to discuss the halachas of Birkas HaTorah. Isn't that amazing? So, after having completed the halachas of Birkas HaShachar, we're now going to be looking at Hilchas Birkas HaTorah. It is interesting, and I don't exactly know why, but in Simon Mem Vav, where are we holding now? Seif Tes, suddenly speaks about Birkas HaTorah. Despite the fact that if you turn the page and you look in Simon Mem Zayin, it's Birkas HaTorah. So, had you asked me how to set it up, I'm sure you wouldn't have asked me, but had you asked me, I'd have said these last two seifim would be part of the next seven, which is Birkas HaTorah, because now we're suddenly, over here it looks like random, but okay, that's what it is. So let's look at Hilchas Birkas HaTorah. So amongst the halachas we're going to be discussing is, what can you make the bracha on? Yeah, one of the first halachas, can you make the Birkas HaTorah after just thinking about Torah? What about if you stay up the whole night, such as on? Yeah, and other halachas amongst others is also what about women in Birkas HaTorah, and what about if you just want to write the Birkas HaTorah? All those halachas are discussed. Let's see. Simon Mevav Seif Tes Lo Yikra Psukim Koidem Birkas HaTorah. First halacha is that before we even actually look at the halacha of reciting Birkas, so we've got to be clear and we've got to know that a person is not allowed to read before Birkas HaTorah. That's it. So there's a halacha that you're not allowed to learn before Birkas HaTorah, which is unlike the other brachas, right? You're allowed to stand up before saying Zoykev Kufufim. You're allowed to sit up before Matir Asurim. You're allowed to open your eyes before saying Pekachivim. When it comes to Birkas HaTorah, it's very different. Do not learn before Birkas HaTorah. Lo yikra psukim kodim Birkas HaTorah. Afal pishu oimrim teich tachnunim. Despite the fact that Shulchan Aruch, you are saying it not in a learning manner, but in a davening manner. Some say, no. She'en lochosh, it's okay. Kevin she'enoy oyimrim elo tachnunim. So this opinion says, no. Learning proper, that you can't. You can't learn proper before Birkas HaTorah. But if you just davening psukim, that's okay because you're davening. So everybody agrees that learning proper, you can't before Birkas HaTorah. The machlokes here is, what about a davening psukim? Because when you are saying psukim, you know, in reality, what happens if you're learning chumash, yeah? And you don't understand something, and you're reading it loud. Are you fulfilling a mitzvah or not? Yes. Of course. Why so? You don't understand. It's a mitzvah kal, but it's something. Yeah, I always like to think about a distinction between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh. I think we all agree, you know, if you learn Chumash, yeah, and you don't exactly understand it, but you're reading it, if you learn Chumash, you're making a mitzvah. Absolutely, for sure you're making a mitzvah. Shir Hashirim, yeah? It's very hard to understand Shir Hashirim. But, Koheles, you know, Psukim, which are sometimes difficult. Yeah, you go to the Nevi'im, sometimes even Nevi'im Achoinim, they're hard, but if you're reading it, you're learning. Even without understanding, you're mekayim a mitzvah. As opposed to, many achronim say, as opposed to, what happens if you learn daf yomi, you don't understand what's flying. You have no clue what's flying. You're in the middle of yevomus, and you haven't got the zikas, achas ishtosh, le'acha zikosoi, koidem chalitzosoi. You know, you don't know where, you don't know what, and then you look into Tosfos, you have no idea. But you're saying it. Are you mekayim a mitzvah by not understanding? So there is many achronim who want to distinguish between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebiksav, the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you don't understand, you're mekayim the mitzvah. There is something intrinsic about the words of the Torah. When it comes to Torah Shebal Peh, without understanding, how do you feel about that? You say still mitzvah kal? It's a very, 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 extremely low grade mitzvah. If you're learning Gemara and you don't know what's flying, it's a very extremely low level. It is. But Torah Shebal Peh, it's Torah Shebal Peh, in essence, is a transmitter Torah. It's not something, you can't transmit something without understanding it. It doesn't make sense. Torah Shebal Peh, yeah, I know it's written now, but Torah Shebal Peh, Gemara, what's the value of a Gemara? I'm exaggerating a bit, but surely The whole point of it is understanding the kasha, being bothered about a kasha, understanding the answer, understanding the contradiction. So by Torah Shebaal Peh, for sure, understanding is more intrinsic than by Torah Shebiksav. Yeah, you're always six, so it's a very low level. I agree. Maybe there's some sort of something. Yeah, it's perhaps something. A very low level. But, Okay, but either way, the point I'm trying to make over here is, so what happens if you're reciting psukim without understanding? You're surely mekayim. So by saying psukim, by davening, many of our tefillahs are from where we're from. Tanakh, yeah, from Lov Yom Tehillim, some are from Divayomim, so often Tehillim. So if so, the question that the Shulchan Aruch is addressing over here, can I daven without saying Birkas HaTorah? I'm saying Psukim. So Shulchan Aruch now brings two opinions. One opinion says that if you're saying it, you have to say Birkas HaTorah. The second opinion says, no. Since you're saying it Derech Tachnunim, you're davening, so therefore you don't have to say Birkas HaTorah. Many hold like the first opinion. Aber aminek esvor achroino, says the Ramad, the minik is like the second opinion. And what's the proof? Shaharei, bime aslichos, mispadanin aslichos. What slichos is the proof? Why slichos is the proof? Says the Ramad, I have evidence. Evidence-based argument. The minik, what happens during slichos? Exactly. What do we say? It's not so far anymore, Rabbosai. We're in 7 already. We're nearly there. What? We say psukim from Kolatu. We say psukim. Now, we don't say most, Psalm says, in Krakow Dominic was, and it still is, in many places, that we don't say Birkas HaTorah. Who can say Birkas HaTorah? You say Birkas HaTorah before Slichas? Some people do, most people don't. Yeah, if you can, great. If you can't, Psalm says, but us in Krakow, we don't say Birkas HaTorah. So now we are saying all the psukim. Hey, whoa! How can we say all the psukim? We're saying psukim without Birkas HaTorah. Says the Gemara. Here it is. So from here we see that if you are saying psukim in a davening way, in a derech tachnunim way, you don't. It's not learning. It's not proper learning. It's not real learning. And you don't have to say Birkas HaTorah. No, it's fine. It's okay. If you're davening, you don't say Birkas HaTorah. No, we're talking about slichas by day. But then you anyway covered. You've said we're going to be talking about that in Mirza Hashem. Your Birkas HaTorah, you said at 6:30 a.m. keeps till you go to bed at 12 o'clock.
No, because it's ready the next day.
Yes, very good question. This is an excellent question, but we'll talk about that. It is not interrupted by the day. It's not the you don't lose your bracha because it's the next day. You only lose your bracha because you are sleeping. But day itself doesn't make you lose the bracha. Tikkun chatzos. Yeah, they say tikkun chatzos. Yeah, so that's a good question. Yeah, so those who sleep before tikkun chatzos, they sleep before tikkun chatzos or after? You sleep a bit. You can't even say Birkas HaTorah so early. You can't even say. Yeah, I don't know. So I suppose according to this, it's a very good point. It's interesting. The Mishnah doesn't bring it, but it's very, very. So according to that, it seems that also because you're saying it derech tachnunim in a davening way, so that's not, you know, you don't require Birkas HaTorah. Yeah.
So somebody that doesn't sleep at all.
We'll talk about that. That's a very important question. We'll talk about that. It's a really good. We'll speak about that. Yeah.
Nope,
they said it the same way than us. Slichas, the same way than us.
They sang it, or they didn't sing it?
They probably, I don't know. Why? What's the difference? I think the davening way... Yeah, you must be talking about giving Midrash Lachem, which is not to be said as a yochid. But here we're talking about, we cannot appreciate and understand the difference between learning and saying slichas. Saying slichas, you're not really, you're davening, right?
So say either way, you can say you don't say, you can say, as
Yeah, so the Ramah says, the Ramah, we're going to speak more about this. The Ramah's opinion is that you don't say Birkas HaTorah for davening.
Or you shouldn't?
No, you don't have to.
You don't have to, but if you do.
If you do, it's great.
If you push for time, then
Yeah.
You said you say a pasuk, regardless if you understand or not, that's Torah and that's learning. So you say, if you're saying it and you're just doubling, you're saying the words. Or
yeah, so that's, you're explaining beautifully the first opinion. You're explaining the first opinion. Who cares if you're understanding or not? You're saying Torah, you should say because of Torah. The Ramah's understanding must be that since you're specifically saying it, you're specifically saying it for davening, so since you're saying for davening, so that's part, it's a different strategy here. It's a different thing happening. So you're not really, you're not constantly, yeah, it's not. It is definitely considered, it's definitely learning. Because the whole reason why Kriyas HaTorah was instituted was because we shouldn't be 3 days without learning. So yeah. Okay, we will be talking more about this, Rabbi Yisrael. There's some fascinating and halachas about this. But this is the starting point over here. And I want to just emphasize that it's not, I don't know how the Mishnah Berurah says that the minhag has changed and all people do say Birkas HaTorah before Slichas. So the minhag has changed again, but either way, according to the Ramah, you don't have to worry so much. But we'll talk more. Yeah.
Before
Birkas HaTorah. Ah.
In other words, after Maidani, as soon as you are able to start.
No, after Maidani, people say Psukim.
Well, after you wash them.
They'll move all the way till Birkas HaTorah normally. Oh, really, that's interesting. Okay, but if there is such a nusach, then it is, you're right, then it will be based on this assumption over here that psukim which are recited for davening don't require Birkas HaTorah. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, more on this tomorrow, Mr. Hashem. I wish you a very, very pleasant evening and a great week indeed.